Babylon. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now there is something going on. Let me see what the other scriptures say here just for a moment. It said this, in this book right here, it said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there are they that carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Our subject today is God wants to hear you sing. Let's just take a look just for a moment, if we will, at this particular verse of scriptures here. Let's take a look at the setting. We know that this was somewhere maybe in the 608 B.C. period. We know it covered 70 years, but I've got a few things here for you today I want you to grasp. I did not know this, that the setting of Babylon is somewhere west of Baghdad. And for Judah, wait just a moment, it's 1,500 miles thereabout from Judah to Babylonia. Now, we know that Nebuchadnezzar and his son Belshazzar had polytheistic religion. It meant this, they serve many gods. I'm afraid that's what's happened in America today. They got far removed from their homeland. Only probably 20,000 actually were removed. Maybe as many as 100,000 didn't go anywhere. Now, I want to give you some parallels today. You got to stay with me. I'm not sure that everybody is going to absorb the new culture that's coming. We've got a cancel culture that's rampant in America. It's the idea that America is no longer the greatest country in America. But I salute, man, I feel like preaching today. I salute the boys, the men that went to faraway places like Iwo Jima, where three boys up there gave their lives. Rennie Gagdon, 19 years of age from New Hampshire, kept his girlfriend's picture up there in his helmet. I salute people like Franklin Southsley from over in Ashland, Kentucky. They said when they told his mother that Franklin had died, neighbors said they could hear her screaming for a mile. I think about those men, the three that got off the island. There were six of them all together. Ira Hayes got off, the Pima Indian. Harry Truman said, you're a hero. He said, how could I be a hero when over 100 of my buddies didn't make it? I'm here to tell you there are men that gave their all at Normandy, at places in France and around that we could have this great liberty today. We may not be a perfect nation, but we're the greatest country in the world. You see, these people that came into Babylon, I want to give you some thoughts. Now, you'll have to stay with me or it'll slip by you. First of all, they were separated from their families. I'm afraid that may be happening to us today. Would you not get mad at me if I told you this? Next to salvation, next to the church, the family is the greatest institution in the world. Will Durant said, the family is the nucleus of civilization. Dr. B.R. Lakin said one time, he said, I'm glad I was born at home. He said, I always wanted to be close to my mother. Isn't it amazing today what's happening in this culture that we've come into? It's a different way of thinking. Please, I'm not trying to be abrasive or ugly, but everything has changed, seems like. The sacred is no longer sacred. It has become mundane. It has become worldly. we were down, I think one of the news channels said maybe 47% now have some orientation to the Christian type living. See, I grew up in a day and time we weren't smart enough to question the Holy Bible. We hadn't become that erudite and scholarly. We felt like the Word of God had been written by God Himself, that every word is preserved and settled in heaven. Somebody ought to say amen. But boy, we've gotten to the place today that we want to rewrite the Word of God. We think that God is just expressing a thought. He's expressing a word. We'll be judged by every word of this Bible. Somebody ought to say amen there. See, we are in a different day and time. I don't know about you, but I get to thinking about that great old song we used to sing, "This world's not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Hallelujah. You know what's happening? It just came to my mind. God gave me this. Listen, we've lost our shout in a lot of our churches. Somebody said, "Well, I kind of am reserved in church." Somebody saw them at a ball game, and they said they squeeze a hot dog right out of the bun. Oh, let me tell you something. Nobody, listen here now, we're getting right down to it right here. My buddy right here, this bass singer. I'm here to remind you of a truth. Nobody is going to go to heaven and say, "Oh, God, this is kind of nice. Oh, this is kind of surprised me. A little gold here." I tell you, when we get there, my friends, we'll bow at His feet. We'll say, "Worthy is the risen Lamb. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Somebody say amen. But we're living in a day and time. I don't know what's made us lose our shout. I can remember when old timers would shout a little bit. Have you ever thought about shouting? Have you? Somebody said, "You'd have to pay me good money. You might have to pay me money not to." Oh, listen here. Somebody ought to be getting excited besides the preacher. Amen? Now, right there, we can preach on that just for a little bit. Somebody said, "Well, I am really glad to be saved." Well, we ought to express it, shouldn't we? These folks here have been taken captive. I'm afraid there are forces in America today that are taking the best of the best. They didn't want just the ordinary people. They wanted Daniel. They wanted those that were fair. They wanted those that were smart. They wanted the choice people. And that's what's happening in our country today. Our schools, and I taught school for a number of years. I like school teachers. Little boy was sitting on the front pew, and the teacher said, "Johnny," she said, "could you tell me the difference between ignorance and apathy?" He said, "Teacher, I don't know and don't care." One fellow told me, he said that he went up to Washington and said a guy jumped out behind the hedge there wearing a ski mask, told that guy, said, "Give me your money." He said, "Young man, I'll have you to know I'm a United States congressman." He said, "Okay, give me my money." See, our churches are under attack. Now, I'm here to, listen here, I'm not saying this braggingly, but you may be a fan, you may not be a fan, but I just talked to our vice president 2 weeks ago. He said, "I want to get with you." He's been my friend for 20-some years. But I'm concerned that our churches are going to come under more strict guidelines. It wasn't a few years ago out in a major city in Texas when one of the mayors out there said, "We're going to have to check your Bible preparation, your notes." And I said, "Houston, we got a problem." Liberty Baptist Church in Bowden, Georgia, as long as there's anybody here, will never come under the mandates and tell folks if they can pray or not pray. Amen? They took old John Bunyan, brother Tim, boy, I love you, brother. They took John Bunyan. They had him up there in the courts in the 1600s. And John Bunyan would not submit to the Anglican church that was the state church. And the Judge Wingate had him on trial. And he looked at him and he said, Mr. Bunyan, he said, I don't want to send you to jail. He said, but you've been preaching. He said, yes. He said, they say you've never attended the Anglican church. He said, never been there, never intend to go. He said, I could let you go, and if you'll just admit and say that you're not qualified to be a preacher. John Bunyan said, God called me. He said, you've got a little girl, Brother Ken. Said, she's blind. Said, she needs you at home. Would you not just give up, Miss Renee, on this preaching? Would you not forget about it? He said, I cannot forget my calling. I cannot. He said, I know you're right, Judge. But he said, I have a higher calling. I've got to do what God has called me today. Let me tell you something. We don't need better sermon outlines. We don't need more classical preaching. We need the Word of God, the power of God, more than we've ever needed it. Somebody say amen. I've got to get personal here today just for a little bit. I feel ought to. How long has it been? Seriously, I want you to tell me that. Don't answer. How long has it been? Have you felt that sweet Holy Ghost down on the inside of you? Without the Spirit of God, no man can see God. Is there something that resonates with you when you say that I'm saved? It'd be like if you said, are you Andrew Phipps? And I say, well, let me get my license out. See what my license said. No, I know my name. I know my dad's name. He always signed his name H.E. Phipps. We knew who he was. I'm glad today, Brother Ken, that I've been to the fount. I've got under the blood. He that created the ocean said, I thirst. Let me tell you something here. God, Jesus Christ, is the God of America and always has been. Man, I feel like preaching, Ken. He's the God-man. I'd like to illustrate that to you if I can just a little bit. I think you need it, my brother, and I need it. What do I mean that he was the God-man? He was a man in the fact that he could eat, but he was God in the fact that he could feed 5,000. He was man in the fact that he could sleep, but he was God in the fact that he would come out of that sleep and rebuke the wind. Y'all help me, I might shout a little bit, Miss Renee. He was man in the fact that he would die, but he was God in the fact that he would come forth bodily and say, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Boy, does that do anybody any good besides me? Oh, let me tell you something here. I'm excited about being a Christian, aren't you? I like to talk to people that get excited, don't you? I don't have a whole lot for people that want to stay in neutral all the time. I want folks to do something. Here in this captivity, what happened? A lot of those people never went. Well, hey, boy, you need this. Did I say that? A lot of the people never got back to Judah. Some went up into northern Israel. Now, I've got something here to say to you. Please, don't get mad at me. There will be people over this pandemic that have quit church will probably never get back. I'm not talking about being sinless. I'm talking about sinless. Oh, listen here. I need the church more than the church needs me. Do you believe I'm right on that? Do you believe I'm right? Boy, the church will get along just fine without me. I've heard folks say, oh, boy, I quit church. I guess they'll close the doors now. Oh, let me tell you. the church of the living God was purchased. We've been redeemed. Propitiation, satisfactory payment was made for us. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought. Somebody said amen. Brother Byron, thank you there. I wish some of you would say amen. We're trying to get an amen started in Indiana. We're going to have a school up there. It's a 2-week course. You have to say the ah in the phonetics. That's the vowel sound in it. We have people that practice. They get in front of a mirror. They say, ah, ah. Second week, they emphasize the men part. We give them a certificate when it's over and say, you have successfully. You know what? You won't believe it, but I thought of myself being somewhat introverted. My mother didn't say a whole lot. She didn't have much of an opportunity with my dad. He talked all the time. But you know what? When I was growing up, you won't believe this. This is true. I had some foibles. I didn't have the confidence. I knew that we were poor people. I knew that it seemed like everybody got the breaks. Now, I'm not in a pity party. I'm just thankful to God that He's allowed me to meet some fine people like you all here at Liberty Baptist Church. I'm going to count you as my friends. Is that all right? I'm hoping some of you good folks will give me your address where you live. Boy, a good pone of cornbread that people know how to fix it. See, I don't know when they went to Babylon, they may have given up on some of their dietary stuff. You know, a lot of folks don't know how to fix cornbread. I don't know how to fix it either. I know how to eat it, though. See, every once in a while, you've got to have the right diet. Everybody needs a can of Spam every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Take your can of Beanie Weenies. All right, Vienna sausage. You can't continue to eat all these salads and everything. They'll kill you. Oh, let me tell you, what also happened here. Now, notice, and I'm going to bring it to a close pretty soon. They had three options whether they were going to sing or not. They could go with the crowd and just complete do nothing. Secondly, they could hang their harps up and say it's over. Or they could sing. You know why they needed to sing? And I want to give you three reasons why they needed to sing. First of all, they needed to sing because somebody else could hear them. Amen. That's all right, isn't it? Yes. Secondly, they needed to sing because it was part of their culture. Right. Jewish people have always sung. The sister-in-law of Moses had created a song of deliverance. Every once in a while back, we ought to just rear back and sing, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord, I've been redeemed. Amen. Brother Rodney Griffin wrote that great song, God Wants to Hear You Sing. You know, when Paul and Silas were down there at midnight, it would have been easy to say, no singing out of us. I want to ask you a question. I want to get it right down. Have you ever been to where you couldn't sing? Sorrow is overwhelming. Sadness is around. I don't tell this story everywhere we go, but we lost our youngest son in 1979 to a malignant brain tumor, John Clay. He was just 6 years old. I never will forget Brother Byron. I sat up late that night. I wanted to get something together, Brother Bowman. I went out to the mall there, and the lady had a packet of little undershirts for kids. And she said, do you need all of these? And through trembling efforts, I said, I think I only need one. But I have the promise of a better day. When we walk hand in hand, in the Golden Street Parade. And we'll sing the songs of Zion that we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. I don't want our singing to stop either, do you? I like those great songs that we used to sing. Glory, glory, hallelujah, I've been redeemed. Look, I like that great song that I believe I've got up here that tells me this. Several years ago, I was looking at it from this, and Brother Rodney Griffin said this, God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest men have spoken and said your circumstance is hopeless. That's when God wants to hear you sing. Sometimes we just need to sing that old song. It's just a little chorus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, just listen here. God wants some praise out of you. Say amen there. You're getting better. God wants to hear you sing. I've thought about some of these songs that we sing from time to time. I just really believe there's a blessing in it. I like that song that we sing. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. And the refrain says, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. God wants to hear you sing. I wish I could have done the message better. But I wanted to give you the highlights of it. God wants to hear you sing today. Do you feel like singing? Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the little message here that we've tried to expound upon. But, oh God, I pray that you'll help us. Help this wonderful church here. Help our friends. Give us a song in the night, so to speak. Give us something, Lord, that we can sing about. May we sing the song of the redeemed. May we sing that. May we just lift up our voices. Oh, God, help us to worship. Lord, we don't come to church just because it's our duty. We come because we want to sing. I know the song says, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Boy, I like these two verses. I'm through. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Last verse, and this is for you. When he comes, our glorious King, and his ransom home to bring, then anew the song we'll sing.